Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday Hump Day edition, with some really big breaking news. And I've got a fine co-devil right from the top. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours. Jim, welcome back to the big show. Well, hold on. There he is. Welcome, Jim.
Good to be with you, Mike. A big news day. Anytime that I pull out my dog-eared version of the Constitution, you know I've got big things to talk about.
Well, I'm calling this the Retire Breyer edition. For those that are unaware, Justice Breyer has announced he's stepping down. And many on the left feel like this is good news because, of course, this gives Joe Biden an opportunity to pick the next Supreme Court justice. So first and foremost, was this any sort of a shocker? Should we be surprised by this news, Jim?
There is probably a low level of surprise because Stephen Breyer in recent interviews has consistently said he is not going to retire, or at least political considerations are not going to be weighed by him in making this decision. So it is not surprising in terms of he's been on the bench for 28 years, nominated, confirmed by the Senate way back in Bill Clinton days. Interestingly, he took the place of Harry Blackmun, who wrote Roe versus Wade, also coming up in our news again this year. So not entirely surprising, but perhaps a little bit surprising just because up to this point, he has pretty much sent messages that he's staying in there. And again, he's healthy. This is plainly not a health-related retirement. No other issues out there. I don't think he's going out to start a new business. But nonetheless, I think for a lot of Democrats who are concerned about the liberal side of the bench, the longevity of any justice is always a concern.
Jim, I hate to even contemplate, but can you envision another Merrick Garland situation where Republicans just try to jam up the works? First and foremost, the process. Remind the good listeners, filibuster, does the filibuster factor in? How do they go about confirming a Supreme Court nominee?
Once again, we look to the Constitution, as we always do, Mike, on your good show. Article 2, Section 2 basically says that the United States president shall nominate the United States with the advice and consent of the Senate, justices of the Supreme Court. And it doesn't say a whole lot more other than that. It doesn't give you a sense of exactly how many votes are needed. However, to answer your question specifically, this was one of those situations where much of our history in the United States Senate, the filibuster would have prevented a simple majority from confirming a nominee to the Supreme Court. That was changed a number of years ago as the United States Senate, both Democrats and then Republicans going back and forth, removing the filibuster for appointments by the executive branch, district court judges, appellate court judges, and then, yes, Supreme Court justices. And so now, even though it doesn't say it in the Constitution, by Senate rules, any nominee of the president, again, by those rules, can be confirmed by a simple majority, which is 51. And as we know, President Biden has that razor-thin majority in the United States Senate by virtue of who? By virtue of the fact that his vice president, Kamala Harris, sits as the president of the Senate. She's been up there a lot, breaking ties, if you will, casting that 51st vote. Again, a lot of math, very important for whoever the president now nominates into the seat being vacated today.
You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our fine guest, James Santel, former U.S. attorney. The tremendous breaking news today. Justice Breyer is retiring from the U.S. Supreme Court. And Joe Biden gets to probably at least nominate his successor. And Joe Biden has made some big promises about who he would impanel on the court if given the opportunity. Jimmy said he'd put a black woman on the court. And I've already heard some pushback on the concept of a black woman. Hell, Fox News legal analyst Jonathan Turley. And I wonder what happened to that guy. But anyways, apparently the Fox money, very, very good. But Turley said, well, it's illegal and discriminatory for Joe Biden to frame it that he would only consider a black female for this position. First and foremost, Jim, do you see any reason that Joe Biden can't set specific terms of the candidate he wants to choose?
This is the nominee, as you indicated, Mike, of the President of the United States of America. Nothing in the Constitution provides any more insight. Frankly, you don't even have to be a lawyer, believe it or not, to be on the Supreme Court. Is that right? So that's why I asked you before, if you're submitting your application, you never know. There's always a possibility out there, my friend. The answer is, of course, Turley and others who indicate that the president's indication during the campaign, he did this way back in February of 2020. We may recall that he was at that time not doing well in the polls, and a fellow named Jim Clyburn, who became the majority whip, said, you know what, I've got to deliver South Carolina. And at that same time, the future president said, I will appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court. I'm not saying there's quid pro quo there, but simply that was the timing of that announcement. Is there anything illegal, unconstitutional, discriminatory about that? No, just the opposite. We look to the Supreme Court to be a panel that in some ways, not perfectly, but in some ways should reflect the United States of America. It is significant, certainly, that in the history of the United States Supreme Court, there have been five females, only two blacks, one Latino, all the rest have been white males. And so this notion that we try to create a Supreme Court making these all important decisions that reflects America is a legitimate thing for the president to say. And it's a legitimate basis upon which to select someone, assuming, of course, which is the underlying predicate for all of this, that you've got somebody who's qualified, who knows what they're doing, and plainly the people are being bandied about as possible nominees fall into that category.
Well, let's do some wild speculation like they're doing over on Fox News right now. Black woman, no law degree required. I nominate Oprah Winfrey. or perhaps you actually, before we came on the air, as we were discussing, you said, what about Michelle Obama? She's actually a lawyer by trade. Oh, that would cheese off the right, Jim.
All kinds of options out there. Michelle Obama, obviously, as notoriously said, she is not going to be re-entering, but she's never actually formally in government, but not re-entering the Washington, D.C. scene. But that certainly is a possibility. Others out there, again, at the time that the president said he was going to appoint a black woman, speaking with Jim Clyburn has identified his own candidate, which, again, puts the president in a bit of an interesting situation. He's identified a woman named J. Michelle Childs. She's a good, but not especially well-known judge in South Carolina. That's Jim Clyburn's nominee. There are plainly others out there. The one whose name is perhaps at the top of the list, we can talk about others, is a woman named Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She is on the D.C. Circuit Court. She was elevated by Joe Biden from to that court fairly recently. She's been confirmed by this same Senate, probably the leading candidate, but as we know, others out there, and we'll have to see who rises to the top in and maybe not expansive list, but nonetheless, a list that has a lot of very good qualified people on it.
Jim, I think days like today call for wild speculation. So the Daily Beast actually chastised Fox News for arriving at the very same conclusion I did. Here's the quote from one of their straight news anchors. So this person has to be a woman. She's got to be black, and she has to be younger. Anyone thinking what I'm thinking? Kamala Harris. I did think exactly what they were thinking. I feel like this would be a very intriguing, made-for-radio debate sort of nominee. Jim, I'd love it, at least for the sake of the show.
So let's talk about that option. And again, what the Constitution would say about all this. Plainly, Kamala Harris is a lawyer, as we all know. Did, from my perspective, an amazing job as the Attorney General of the State of California. ran for the United States Senate, plucked up by the present president as his running mate, and she is now our vice president. So why is that significant? As I said before, she is now serving as the president of the Senate, casting these votes. When, in fact, the president's nominee comes, gets sent up to the Capitol Hill, yes, he does all the visitations, all the visits go on, all that happens. Eventually, there'll be a decision by the Judiciary Committee and come up to Chuck Schumer to bring it to the floor. At some point, however, she will probably reside, that is, Kamala Harris will preside over that proceeding. Now, let's play the interesting scenario that you've laid out here. So let us assume, for the purpose of the argument, that she is the president's nominee. Is there anything wrong with that happening? No, she could in fact be the nominee if indeed you've got 50 Democratic senators or 50 senators generally. If somebody from the other side decides to throw their lot in with the Democrats, you've got 50. She would effectively be the 51st vote on her own nomination to confirm that. Is there anything to prevent that from happening? No, because she wouldn't be a sitting justice at that time. She'd still be the president of the Senate, vice president of the United States of America, and not a justice until she is actually sworn in. Could be later that afternoon, could be a week from that time. So the scenario that you raised is not an impossible one. More likely, plainly raising an awful lot of interesting, intriguing political issues about this. But certainly that I suspect that she would have to be on a list, frankly, a short list of people that the president would be considering today. It is not a completely frivolous or hypothetical possibility.
U.S. Senator, former state AG in a big state like California, is that the sort of resume that makes for a Supreme Court justice, or should be? 1 minute here in this segment, Jim.
Right. Absolutely. And she is, again, a law enforcement background. Plainly, she in the United States Senate, she is already in the brief time that she was there, credentials for civil rights and human rights, those kinds of things. The president has also indicated are important to him, very much involved in the issues of the day, immigration, among them, all sorts of things, healthcare, so forth. And so this would not be an implausible nominee. And just in terms of raw qualifications, if she were not the vice president, I still think she would be on the list, as you have proposed here today.
It's the Retire Breyer edition. He's James Hantel, former U.S. attorney, a good friend of ours. Come back. This one's going out to you, Justice Breyer. I'm free. The Rolling Stones version.
I'm not going to work here anymore anyway.